Good morning and welcome to the Raising Men Show. And I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. In studio, I've got two fantastic, outstanding people that I've known from the way back to way back time. In fact, those of you on the West Coast know of Simply Sharon's restaurant and just all those fancy eateries. We've got Sharon Cunningham and her husband Zoltan in studio today.
Yes, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And our topic for today, because we're really focusing a lot on the men today, on our show today, so we're dealing with a topic called To Death Do Us Part. Now, Zoltan, you and I have a similar situation going on. Both of our wives were struck with cancer.
Yes.
And cancer is a real nasty disease. And I don't know why the Lord's got that disease even.
Right,
man, I don't even know what is up with that right now. But he's got that thing, and long as he's got it, we know he's got us.
That's right.
So tell us, you know, you being a caregiver, I know you sat on what we call the visitor side of that bed rail before. And in them days when you've had to, I'm sure, walk away, leave her at the hospital. So nice. You woke up in the morning with her in the hospital, wondering what's going on and what y'all going to do and not do. And, you know, and having them thoughts, is she really going to be, you know, to the end? What are we going to do?
Exactly.
But, you know, as you know, she's sitting over here in the stove, looking all, you know, beautified, her head wrap on and everything. So tell us, help the guys understand where they are, where you were. So, because here's the thing, let me go back. Because like we were talking about off radio. When I started this show, I didn't have nobody to help me understand where I was at.
Yeah.
So in some ways, this show is really for guys like yourself who've kind of been in it before, right? To give them somebody to talk to. Now, the cool thing is you're a guy that can help the cats know because your wife is still with you.
Yeah.
So help the guys understand what you went through, where you are, and what are you going through right now. Help us out.
Well, of course, when you hear the big C word, it scares you.
Yeah.
You know, thank goodness that we are pretty grounded in the word. And I don't want to try to get holier than now, but that's just kind of how we roll. So for us, of course, it was scary. But once I realized it was here, I just realized, listen, it's going to be a fight. Now we got to get down with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got you and I need you here with me. So the fight is on.
Sure.
Let's get this.
Yeah.
In the process of crying together and praying together, when you finally let people know, God, you're surprised how many people are going through the same things you're going through.
Sure.
And that's why it's so important to have good friends, good family, and especially a church family. Because we started finding out how many people had cancer, went through cancer, you know, got breasts removed.
Sure.
And that in itself was a great feeling to know that you've had people that went through it. And again, what was so good for me is I had men that had went through it.
Yeah.
You know, not just went through cancer, but had wives that had went through it.
Yeah.
And they were just telling me, man, listen, this ain't about you, bro.
Yeah.
Put your feelings aside and what you want, that don't even matter no more.
Yeah.
It's time for you to take care of your girl.
Yeah.
And whatever you think you need to do, that's what you need to do and above that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, I just kind of solidified what I felt. And I told her, I said, listen, I may not agree with everything that you want to do.
Sure.
Understand I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And I got you.
Yeah.
We'll go along. I can't say that I'm in your shoes, but I'm there with you. So that was a big help.
Yeah.
To know that I had people, and even now to be going through the process, to have people who've had wives that had cancer, like, okay, but the chemo's gonna do this, it's gonna do this, it's gonna do this, and everything is just like falling into place as it's happening. Because you're thinking at the time, oh, well, my wife is good, she's healthy, everything is good, you know, the chemo isn't gonna affect her too much.
Sure.
But then 2 weeks come and then the hair starts going, and you're thinking, I'm watching her panic, I'm like, okay, dude, you gotta stay strong. And you got to make sure she's okay. Babe, we got this. We're going to do, you know. So it's good to stay positive. One of the best things I heard was for me to take time to get away to do me.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be so important that I'm strong for my wife.
Now, explain that part. Were you able to do that without feeling like you was, you know, doing something selfish?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was kind of thinking, this situation is, it really did, was really solidified to me that how selfish I really was.
Oh, got it.
I had to change. Normally we do stuff, you know, I guess it's kind of self-preservation. You want to make sure you're all right first.
Sure.
And then you want to, okay, man, can you help me out? Yeah, man, but let me make sure I got time to do what I got to do first. And then I can help you out.
For sure.
But that's not really a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I had to learn, okay, man, this is going to be a sacrifice, you know, and it was, again, it wasn't about me.
Sure.
Was it difficult to find time? Yeah, it was. Because I don't even know if I have yet.
Yeah.
To be honest, because at some point, again, I didn't want to feel selfish.
Yeah.
And as men, sometimes we, you know, as the stronger, you know, pride steps in and you don't want to necessarily be seem that you're weak. And you definitely don't want anybody to see you weak.
Yeah.
But there's been times where I've been just like, man, you know, I just find myself tearing up and I'm like, oh, man, you can't be crying, you know. So it hasn't been difficult.
Sure.
But it's not the easiest thing.
Sure.
But again, I think as men, we have to figure out what really makes us tick.
Yeah.
I think you do need to understand that you really got to be prayed up and you really got to have friends that'll tell you, man, it's all right to cry, bruh.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Man, can we? Yeah, man, come on. I'm coming to grab you, man. Let's go get some. Let's go hang out.
Sure.
You know, we'll smoke a cigar. We'll go get some. Whatever thing you think you need to do, let's do that.
Yeah.
but you have to figure out ways to find time for yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't think I found that yet because my focus really is not me. My focus is getting my girl strong.
Sure.
And getting her back to where she needs to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can... You know, but it's kind of realigned my thought process of, okay, man, you got to get the grinder and do what you got to do, man. You know, so you guys can hang out and travel more. Forget about being scared to fly, but you got to be able to fly after this.
Because you went to New York. We saw those pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys have gone to New York.
Yeah.
And how did you like that? I mean, so, you know, you're getting over that piece. How did that feel?
It was great. It was really good because it was right before everything was about to happen, wasn't it? So it was a good getaway.
Okay.
Because it kind of cleared our mind to really get ready for this, you know, for this fight.
Sure.
You know, so it was a great getaway. And believe me, I got over the flight and it was all good. It was just, you know, too good to get out and just be with her and see. And again, it just kind of realigned my thought process and what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And realize, okay, but when you get back, man, this, you got to put you on the shelf.
Yeah.
And whatever your girl got. And I told her, I said, listen, whatever you have to change, I'll change. You know, if we have to change the way we eat, you know, I'll change that. If I have to start cooking, God forbid, I can do that too. It's hard to come behind somebody like her.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I can make a good salad, babe.
I ain't mad at you. Just open that bag up and pour it in
That's
the bowl,
right? That's right. That's right. That's right. Self-made. So, but yeah, man, it's a learning process, and we're both still learning.
Sure.
We learned so much about cancer. We've learned so much about, ooh, God, the negatives of chemo and radiation and, you know, dealing with the American medical system.
Oh, God,
and,
yeah.
You know, then we're finding out about, you know, holistics and eating right and, you know, infused waters and all this. So it's been a process.
Yeah. Because you come from a football background.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for you, you're the tough dude.
You know,
you're the one that's hitting people and used to putting down pain.
Yeah, that
you know
part.
What I'm saying? So it's interesting to watch and what you're giving the good feedback to the guys. That sometimes you need to feel that pain.
Yeah, you do.
Because you need to know if you're still alive or not.
That part.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's tough. You know, like I said, you know, as men, we allow our pride to get in the way in a lot of things.
Sure, sure. Do you find yourself journaling, writing this stuff down? Or?
I started journaling.
Okay.
And then I stopped.
Why'd you stop?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I would say part of it, man, was we said we were both going to journal because we wanted to track the course.
Sure. Yeah.
So when we were able to go out and talk to people,
sure,
as husband and wife, or me talking to guys, or her talking to women, that we kind of knew the stages.
Yeah.
Part of it is I guess we got so overwhelmed with stuff that was coming in.
Sure.
The other part was at the time, realistically, I found it a little bit difficult to go back and look at some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was like, man, this is, you know, again, I had this machismo, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to cry. Sure. I don't want to be no punk thing going on. You know?
Yeah, so, you ain't no punk.
I was like, man, because I, you know, it was kind of good, man. I would come home sometimes and I would think about stuff.
Sure.
And crying would kind of cleanse things and make me see clearly.
Sure.
And I think that was just a process that God was having me, you know, he was kind of tearing me down so he could rebuild me back up again.
Yeah.
So it was some things that had to be torn down. So,
well, hey, manage, I offer you this. You shoot pool?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, you came in, you walked past the pool table. So you have carte blanche to come through?
No problem.
I mean, look, so I had to get your number. I have Sharon's number.
Most definitely.
But I've actually never had your number.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay, we're going to exchange numbers.
Yeah.
You come through. I can't cook like Sharon do. But, you know, we going to try to do something.
Man, look, man. Caden got it.
Yeah. Yeah, that boy can cook.
Well, if he's the next one, then we just going to give him the bread and let him do what he do.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Because I'm enjoying that part because that's one thing I didn't have. No, I can't say I didn't have people that didn't reach out. Because we were one of the folks that she was at our house, Sharon, like every other day.
Yeah.
You was dropping stuff off. She was dropping stuff off. And I don't think we ever had a chance to really have people understand how that helped us.
Yeah.
Because there were some days that I had not shared where we didn't have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, food, okay, there, if I had to find something, we could have found something in a can or something that had been at the bottom in the freezer for 12 years.
Yeah.
We weren't going to go hungry.
Yeah.
But there were some days when food that we didn't know we could eat came.
Yeah.
Because the frozen stuff that was probably freezer burn anyway, 12 years in the freezer, probably bad. I mean, it was a 12 years slave. We know how that worked out. But stuff in the cans, I don't eat kidney beans, but when you're hungry, you eat anything.
You'll eat that.
But I remember when, you know, Sharon bringing the chicken salad by or this, you know, lasagna by or just...
That's huge. Chicken,
it is huge.
That's huge.
But there were some days, too, when you all brought money by.
Yeah.
And there was days when, I'll share with you, there was no money in the bank to even pretend like you wanted to go get money.
Yeah.
To put money in the gas in the tanks.
Yeah.
So I remember there was one day in particular, Shane told me, he said, Dad, what are we going to do? I need gas for the car. Can you give me some money? And I was like, no. And it wasn't like I didn't want to.
Yeah.
There was nothing to give.
And the crazy part about it is there were people that were willing to help you out, but you just didn't know how to go about finding out if you could get it. Because, I mean, that was huge for us because I remember when everybody reached out, like, oh, man, we can cook.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, with women at church, you know, Ms. Dottie Johnson, who was like, you know, well, we're going to set something up where we can bring you food. And I was like, no, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, and then she just started talking. She's like, you really got this? And I said, I'll check it out. I said, I'm not going to block anybody's blessing.
Sure.
So let me just get out of the way. Man, it was so awesome because you'd have people that were bringing food.
Yeah.
And, you know, and coming by and spending time. And it was so huge.
Yeah.
It was so huge. Well, it made for like 3 weeks straight.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you're listening to the Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, in studio, Zoltan and Sharon Cunningham. We'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and again in studio, we've got the Cunninghams. Now, off air, we were talking about some stuff that's real life, real talk that we need to make sure people understand. When I lost my wife, we were talking earlier. What do you do then? But anyway, we talk about sharing that. I struggle with people who are in their marriages right now, And their marriage is stalled. Oh, my wife and I, we're not getting along. Are we going to divorce? Well, what are you going to do? You work on it? You going to Catholic? No.
Right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can't fix it when you're gone.
Better get it right now.
You gotta do that. Yeah. Help the guys to understand. How has your paradigm shifted now with her being sick? Has it changed anything how y'all interact with each other or things that were important?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's made me more conscious of kind of how I talk and kind of how I can't blame anything on, you know, my upbringing, but
sure.
I'm kind of a product of what I was raised in.
Sure. You
know, my father was, still is a great guy, great man, you know, my hero, a great provider.
Sure.
Never lied. His integrity is intact, but he wasn't the best communicator.
Got it.
And, I took on some of those negatives and, you know, I've taken for granted the way I communicate with my family sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the past few years, once my kids got grown and they moved out, I found out that they were like, we love you, Dad, but we don't want to be around you pretty much.
Yeah, serious.
And I was like, wow. So it made me take a broader spectrum of what was going on and how I communicated. So I had to learn how to view myself out of my body per se to see, you know, if okay, was it a better way you could have said that? Was it better way you have? So again, kind of like as we were talking, you need to fix what you have going on now because you can't go back, you know, you can't go back and fix it.
No.
You know, when they're gone.
Yeah.
So I've had to, again, readjust how I think and how I talk and stop taking things for granted.
And you got a big family.
Yeah.
I mean, how many kids? I lose track. How many kids are? Okay, you have four. Because three girls.
And one boy.
And boy.
Yeah.
Because I know Devin, that boy cook.
Yeah, he's a beast.
That boy cook.
He's a beast.
Oh, my goodness. And with his, the what's the name again of his website? He's healthy. The good food table.
Oh, that's what you guys been fingers to get a good. It came to the house to get a little bit of get down. Huh?
Oh man, I'm still picking that food out of my mouth because I ain't brushed my teeth. I didn't want to lose that flavor. You know, I'm sorry, Dennis, but you know, doc, I'm just telling you that it was like that. But even when we were out there, you could see the two of you all in his life.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because he used to be a football player too. Because I remember you used to be out with him on the field, hitting folks, teaching them how to hit, and spending that time.
Yeah.
How is over the time, especially now, how have you been able to change your relationship and your dynamic now with all of your kids? I don't know what it is to raise girls, so y'all gonna have to educate me.
You know, it's not the easiest because because you don't want to. God, it's almost unfair because when you have boys, you treat them and they get to do things a little bit differently.
Sure.
They get to do things a little bit more than you would extend to a female. So, I try not to get too involved, but I've tried to be more of an example.
Sure.
My thing is I try to show them how I love their mom.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, I always wanted to be married when I was a kid.
Really?
Because just watching my parents.
Yeah.
You know, my father never raised his hand at my mom. He never called her out of her name. Even though he was moody and he took care, he was always loving.
Okay.
You know, it was a little snap on the butt and they always, you know, affectionate and they kissed each other and they handled business together.
Yeah.
And they worked as a team. We weren't going to get in between my mom and dad.
No.
You know, I try to get over my mom. She's like, okay, okay. But when my dad got home, she'd tell him. And I'm getting whooped. So what I try to do for my girls is try to show them, be an example of them, what they should be expecting from a man, how a man is supposed to treat. Now, again, I'm not perfect, and I failed in some areas communicating, but I try to be a pretty good example.
And were you rough on their boyfriends when they came by the house?
Man, I ain't never had, my daughters have never brought guys.
Really?
My oldest daughter brought one guy a few years back, and that was it. To this day, the two that I still have, they do not bring guys by.
I don't blame it because you're not a small dude. So if I had to come to the door, Miss Cunningham, I come to. I'm sorry. I'm going to get your newspaper for here you go.
And I just want them to understand, man, listen, there's a lot of stuff happening out there.
Yeah.
And I just need you, man, I'm not going to get your business. I just need you to know that she's got a family. She's got a mom and a dad.
Yeah.
And grandparents, and you know, and I tell them, I said, listen, I don't need to know what your business is. I just want to know who you're with.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So we can identify who and what.
Yeah.
And they just know what's up. I mean, that's just being real.
Amen.
But again, I'm the dynamic is completely different. So
yeah,
I've kind of been accused of not teaching them how to do certain things. Well, you didn't teach me how to meet this guy, and you didn't teach me. And I'm like, but you know, I can't. Even if I told you how and what to look for, it doesn't mean that you would have listened to me.
Sure.
You didn't listen to me when I talked to you about driving,
right?
And about doing everything else you were doing. So what made me think you know you were gonna think about what I was gonna say talking to you about guys?
Yeah.
So I mean, you take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's good though, because I know at the end of the day, the things that I've taught them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the foundation that me and Sharon laid, that they got it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't necessarily always tell you, because they don't want to tell you that you're right. But it's cool, because you can see it and they say it. You know, even if they don't say it, they say it. So it's cool.
Oh, yeah. I think y'all did a good job. Definitely. Because I don't know your daughters near as well as I have come to know Devin.
Yeah.
Devin is, like I said, he's really cool. When we were in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
I had reached out to him. He reached out to me and said, hey, I didn't know you were in town, da 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 da. And I was like, oh, well, we are still in town. And when we went through, you could just see the cat is just relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, he's just himself.
Yeah.
In fact, when I pulled up in the driveway, I thought you guys were there.
Uh-huh.
Because, I pulled up. I was like, oh, shit, was there. Oh, this, the fool's going to be extra. I came in house. Hey, where your mom at?
Yeah.
My mom was in California.
That's right.
I was like, put a truck outside. Because whenever the catering jobs would show. Sharon was doing everybody's food.
Exactly.
Even before the restaurant opened. We were like, oh, there's a truck. There's going to be food.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I always enjoyed about Sharon's food was that the food that she made tastes like the food it was supposed to taste like.
Exactly.
There's some chefs that everything they make tastes like everything else that they already made.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's not supposed to be that way. Exactly.
See, that's Devin's get down.
Yeah.
Devin's is
out of a whole nother level than me. I said, he's the bougie chef. I'm just a home cook. He's the bougie.
But the thing is,
he's to a whole nother level.
See, what he can do is he can do home style on that level.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I always tell him, I said, listen, man, head up. Your mom got you.
Yeah.
I love you. And you can do it. Oh, no. But see, Devin, what he always says is he's not trying to. He doesn't want you to necessarily taste his food. He wants you to experience his food.
Yeah,
he wants you to experience growing up, eating breakfast at grandma's, and homemade biscuits, and you know, burr rabbit syrup and homemade sausages from Mississippi. He wants you to feel the experience. So his thing is if he can sell you his experience, you know, he says, you know, people don't eat at the table anymore. They eat at, you know, they eat in rooms and on TV trays. And that's true.
That's me.
Because we're victims of that. We are. We do.
Yeah.
So his thing is, I want to pull people to the table where they can talk and put phones down and forget about everything. And let's just eat and taste the food. And then they're like, you know what? That was an experience.
Yeah.
You know, and when he sells a lot of his, you know, when he sells his business, usually it's because he's giving them his story.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they love his story.
Oh, yeah.
And then they taste his food and it's just like, okay, you're in, bro. We got you.
Yeah, yeah. Because when we were sitting at the table, none of the kids had their phones out. And he has a nice, long eating table.
Yeah.
And then we were all just there. And the kids were like, Dad, I'm full. I can't eat another thing. I'm like, well, you better eat that something because we're not getting nothing else. But they didn't ask for food for hours afterwards because they were full.
Yeah.
Because I think that day he made homemade biscuits. Absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made some sausage. And then he put together this fruit deal. And I know we talk about men's issue, and I'm going to bring it back as to why this is all important. It's because he made that fruit, and he put these little leaves or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that stuff was. And he put some honey on, like, you put honey on fruit?
Mm-hmm.
It was some of the best food I think I have ever had in my entire life. And but our whole conversation was family.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about, you know, when y'all was back at home, when we knew him before, and what he's doing now. He was asking about our family. Shane was asking him about, you know, what we were doing and doing out here, and da da da. And I think the part I enjoyed the most was I had all of my boys there.
Yeah.
So they all got a chance to see that. And with Caden wanting to do cooking, he was able to kind of see a different look at it up close and personal.
Uh-huh.
So, and to see if I'm a young person as well, that it's not just a sad thing to do or, I got to go be a line chef somewhere. You can be creative.
Exactly.
And I just want to make sure you all know that your upbringing through him and for him was evident.
Yeah.
Because he always was well-mannered. Big personality,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's very mannerable, very, very, very personable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever wondered, was it worth it? Was any of the hard time worth it? Any of them days, you know, cause I don't know. Let me ask you, Shane doesn't play basketball much anymore.
Yeah.
And so when he stopped playing at you know, 18 and a half, 19, I went through this like parental withdrawals. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not at the gym no more. You know,
I'm feeling you.
He's a great player. He should be playing. That's right. But it was his choice to go to, you know, the Ohio State and just be a student.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Your son's in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You was used to him seeing him hit folk on the field.
Yeah.
But now he hitting folks in the kitchen. Oh.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Where are you at with that transition?
You know what? It's wonderful. And it's funny because I accepted that he wasn't going to play football anymore probably his senior year in high school. Devin was always, to me, Devin was a throwback player.
Okay.
He was a dick butt because Devin was probably one of the hardest hitting kids I had ever saw.
Yeah.
Even when he was the smallest and the youngest.
Yeah.
So I had always felt, you know, okay, man, you got an opportunity to do a little something.
Yeah.
Once he got into high school, I kind of saw the shift change. Where I think he did it because it was something to do. I don't think it was more of that he really wanted to.
Yeah.
So I kind of got over the fact that he wasn't going to play ball anymore because, you know, between his sophomore and junior year, Devin grew like 4 inches.
Wow.
So he went from like 5-something to 6'1", like overnight. I was like, wow. So I was like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah.
So he got accepted into ASU, and he got accepted into Morehouse. He went to matter of fact, he actually got accepted to OSU too.
Wow.
Ohio State, but he decided to go to Morehouse, and I was extremely happy.
Yeah.
Because Devin is very intelligent.
Oh yeah.
Lazy but intelligent. Devin didn't have to do. His memory.
Yeah.
And his ability to learn and comprehend was so good that he wouldn't show his work in math. Even since the eighth grade, he'd always stay interested. So he was like, well, we're graded on quizzes and tests. I get A's. I don't have to study. So why am I showing her my work? So we had to go through that dynamic. So I figured, okay, he's going to Morehouse. We got this. We're going to be good.
Yeah.
Had a guy that was going to work with him, get him into Georgia Tech. He could have got his master's from Georgia Tech in 5 years. And, you know, did his stuff in Morehouse. Get that, you know, HBCU experience.
Yeah.
And that 1 year, he quit.
Ooh.
And everybody knew but me.
Ooh.
And the next thing I knew was when he wanted to be a cook. And I was going, so you're going to leave Morehouse in Georgia Tech to be a cook?
Yeah.
It was rough. So we battled for about 2 years to the point where Sharon had to say, you know, I'm going to have to move you because we don't want a Marvin Gaye thing going here. So you got to go. And he started cooking and, you know, I wasn't really feeling it. We were trying to get him back in school.
Yeah.
So after about 2 years or so, I said, man, check this out, bro. I said, okay, if you're going to do this, do it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you have to do to be the best, go ahead and be the best.
Sure.
But it wasn't gonna have anything with school, and he wasn't doing that. He just says, I don't have to have that. I've talked to people. Once he started venturing out, I said, okay. And then when he left here and went to Phoenix, that's when everything changed. He had to grow up. He had to be a man. And that's when he really started exploring and started figuring out what he wanted to do. And he realized he didn't want to be in a box.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I don't want to cook the same stuff the same way and it tastes the same every day. I don't want to do that regimen. I want people to experience what I experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I would say for the past couple of years, I'm just so happy just to see where he's, you know, where he went. Because we used to call him the Pepper King. Everything he had was pepper and hot, black pepper and hot. So now I get to see him, you know, I get to see him as he works in the kitchen. He's cutting and he's chopping, the way he does things, the way he's flipping pans and the way he's making sauces and the way he's multitasking and the way he's putting business plans and, you know, super proud. So I'm just praying and hoping that he continues and grows.
Yeah,
amen.
You know? Amen. Yeah. Well, I tell you, and he knows, but I make sure as you as parents have to know, you all are an inspiration for us. Because Sharon, you know, because Sandy and I, we used to come over to the house and hang, and we was all in life group together and hang, and it was different for us because I was watching you be that dad that, okay, because we would be over there, you and Devin come in from practice.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, that's the way you do it. You know what I'm saying? You take your kid to practice and you come. And so that was how I modeled, and I was pretty much a tyrant on the court.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all did the same thing, but I know you was.
Bruh.
She's a. Yeah, Yeah, I was that guy.
I was.
Yeah, yeah, I was. Yeah. So in having family, you know, your house was always the house where folks wanted to come, and they know they get something to eat, they can laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's where we modeled our house after. So now with Caden wanting to become a chef, and I was like, okay, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Because we went through the whole interpretive dance thing with him as a little kid, and then we have the chef thing. We did volleyball, and I'm like, there's not anything typical and normal.
He's creative.
Yeah.
His mindset is creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and really with children like that, you just have to let them flow.
Yeah.
And find where their place is.
Yeah.
Support them and let them ride.
Yeah.
You know, and understand that it may change tomorrow.
Yeah.
Something else comes up.
Yeah.
It may change tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's what I was afraid of with Devin. I was hoping, okay, you just want to be a cook. I never said anything about a chef. I just called him a cook because I was mad. So. Your mama can cook. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it you just, you know, with creative children, you just have to just let that flow. I mean, they're going to be exactly what they're going to be. They're not going to necessarily be what you want them to be.
Yeah.
But I think foundationally, if you give them what they're supposed to have,
train
up a child.
Yeah.
I believe that truly.
Yeah.
And, you know. But again, you have to be careful of your negatives.
Yeah.
Because they can grab those. You know, it's funny. You know, they always say that people are always watching you. Like, we had no idea that, you know, you were watching. Because, I mean, I look at different people, mentor, you know.
Sure.
For different, you know, different things and how they want to do that. But it's strange to see that somebody, you know, saw those little nuances that, going to practice and bringing.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was just normal. It is normal, but as you get older, you realize, you know what, man? This is, you know, you're kind of modeling some stuff for your children, and other people are seeing it. So it's always good to.
There's not a lot of guys that were going to practices with their kids, right? Because there was a coach, and because a lot of guys not in the house.
Yeah.
So the guys that are in the house, we can't take the kid to practice.
Yeah.
A lot of moms dropping them off, or a lot of coaches picking up kids. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like being that guy.
Yeah.
I don't like today, for instance, I got an issue trying to get kids from one place to another. And I'm supposed to be at work. Mm-hmm. And like right at, like soon as we get done with the live show, I have to leave and go right to church.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure, okay, how are we going to get the kids from one spot to the next? And that's an issue for me.
Yeah.
You know, but watching you guys do that and navigate, and it never looked like stress and pressure for you all. It just looked like, oh, just flow. Let's just do that and just do that.
Yeah.
Help the guys understand what it really what it meant to you to have that kind of father dynamic, husband dynamic with your wife and with your kids. Why is that important to you?
Oh, man, because it's, I think it's so important, man, because it's, I mean, you want to have a positive, you want your kid, I mean, a lot of stuff that you do with your kids is to make them better.
Yeah.
Make them better than what you are. And correct modeling, you know, I mean, again, my father was to me, was a great model. You know, my dad was a hard worker. He wasn't the guy that was coming to practice every day.
Mm.
He didn't even make it to most of my games.
Mm.
But I knew my dad was going to provide. He was going to give me sound advice. Sure. He was going to discipline. He was going to do all that. Life was tough. He made me such a great worker because he was the type that did nothing. He didn't hire anybody to do anything. He had to try it first.
Mm-hmm.
And 95% of the time, he could do it or figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that. Now, I hated it at the time. I just think positive role modeling is even when you're like, my daughter Jordan is in New York.
Mm.
I think a lot of the things that me and her mom did and showed her and did in front of her are things that she does and uses now.
Mm, that's good.
So when they're gone, nobody wants to. Of course, I didn't want Jordan to go to New York.
Yeah.
You know, but she's very independent. She's an independent thinker. She's bright. And of course, I was concerned, but I figured if any one of my young females could do it, she could.
Sure.
And then on top, I had to realize, okay, we grounded her well enough to know what's right, what's wrong, what she needs. So, you know, once she left, I was like, I'm cool. But it all went back to how we raised her.
Now, how did you guys wind up with the kids out of state? Because I've only known you all to live right here on the West Coast.
Man, I would have never thought anybody would have left California.
No.
But once Jordan went to Phoenix first because she went to ASU.
Yeah, yeah,
and then she said she wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
She talked Devin into going. Devin went and he was like, I'm not coming back to Cali. And then, because Jordan, you know, Jordan works for the airlines, and with her traveling all over the place,
okay,
an opportunity. Okay. I mean, she went to New York and she saw the culture,
okay,
and she fell in love with the culture. You know, she fell in love with
the diversity
yeah. that was there, and yeah. the blackness that was there, and yeah. just everything. And she kind of applied for a couple of things, and I was like, oh no, she won't get it. A couple of years went by, and the next thing we know, I got hired, I got a job, and it was just like overnight. A couple of weeks, she had to go.
Well, I tell you what, when Devin went to out of state,
mm-hmm.
my whole house was like, oh, that means she ain't gonna go out of state, you know. And then when he brought that stuff home, talking, yeah. oh, Dad, I wanted all this college he was applying for, and I yeah. was like, okay. Oh, well, he won't get into Berkeley. He'll get into UCR or UCLA. Yeah. We're good. We ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
This thing came back from Ohio State. I was like,
yeah.
We're not going to really go, right?
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that was one of the places he really wanted. He wanted a, you know, a big school experience.
Yeah. yeah.
And that dude, and then when Devin, you know, ended up in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
I was like, and then now Shane's in Arizona. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're following.
I mean, yeah. God has a plan for everything. Yeah. Man. You yeah, know, and, yeah. and probably, and I'm not going to say probably, for Shane, that was the best thing for him.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
to be honest, I went to school, I stayed in California, and I was too involved with my friends.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, and what I wanted to do is what we wanted to do is we wanted our kids to go to school and get that college experience.
Sure.
I have a lot of friends that went to HBCUs or went out of state, and they were more well-rounded than I was at an early period in their life than I was.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
The experiences that they had, the relationships that they, you know, established with brothers all over the place.
Sure.
And sure. I wanted my kids to experience that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Grant, I love my boys. I love my friends.
Sure.
You know, but I wish I had have, you know, did like I was supposed to and got more involved in school and the school life and
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. So I just started telling my kids, listen, maybe go get that college experience. Get all of that. Get educated and, you know, get yourself prepared. You know? So
I hear that because even when right now I'm looking at what the kids are going to do, because this young set of four, I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, man.
You know, Kaden got a chef coat in the mail
from
a friend whose husband had passed away when he was a chef.
Uh-huh.
So he has a chef coat now. So I'm thinking, okay.
So.
Oh, Lord Jesus. And he'll wear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not like it's a wearing to be like a Halloween costume. It's like, oh no, he's very respectful with it. And I'm like, okay. And even I took a picture with him wearing it. I'm like, this cat's actually looking like he's supposed to be at this thing.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you look at stuff and go, okay, you don't really know what's going on with it.
Yeah.
So help the guys understand, how do we help our kids find out what they want to do? And how do you help them shape that, what that looks like?
You know what? I'm going to be really real. I think you just need to make sure that they're grounded, and you have to definitely be a positive role model, but you have to let them do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise you become frustrated and you make them frustrated because you're trying to, you know, live your life through them, or you're trying to put what you think is best. What's best for you might not be best for them.
Yeah.
So at some point you have to learn how to be supportive, whatever they're doing. Cause what we've kind of learned is, the more the more you tell your kids no, the more like, man, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going yes then.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're playing a game, but I think really you just have to just be supportive at whatever it is. Because, like I said, what they decide they want to do may change from day to day.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's influenced by their friends. It's influenced by what they see on TV.
Sure.
You know, because I thought Devin just wanted to be a chef because he was seeing people on TV. You know, I'm like, oh, you think you can cook now?
You think
that chopping is cool?
Yeah.
No, man, it's you know, so you just have to be positive, just kind of go with the flow. Yeah. Just, you know, instill what they, you know, try to learn about whatever it is they're doing as much as they can.
Sure.
And don't try to influence, but give them the positives and negatives and let them figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get frustrated.
I hear
And it makes them frustrated.
So. I hear that. And, you know, nobody want that. As you guys are moving into the next phase with, you know, your marriage and moving on.
Yeah.
How do you work that out? How do you help the guys? And what have you had to find that you're going to do? Or if you had set any plans for yourself now, you know, as you guys are moving on, you know, Sharon's stronger. She's in the house. We're doing things like that. What are we doing now?
Man, I'm just trying to get her stronger.
Sure.
We're trying to figure out, again, this chemo stuff and, trying to purge this stuff out of her body and get her body strong. And we're just going to try to start living and loving harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You never know. Open another restaurant. Yeah.
Well, wait, say that again.
Oh, yeah.
Open another restaurant.
Yes, please do. Lord Jesus.
I was hoping she wouldn't go say that, but.
Yeah.
But again, that's just something that she. That's actually something she expressed before we found out she had cancer.
Sure.
And we had kind of started looking into it.
Yeah.
And then this happened, and it kind of got put on the back burner. And,
okay.
God, we didn't realize this, how much eating is a part of.
Oh yeah.
A part of our lives. I mean, now that we have to prepare stuff differently, and how much time it could. Because I mean, before she could put a meal together in 20-30 minutes, man, and we were throwing down, and it was good.
Yeah.
You know, now it's we have to. Okay, we got to think about, you know, which can eat, which can't. What's best for you?
Sure.
What's gonna help build you?
Sure.
So yeah, she's even thrown that out. So, I mean, that's something else. You know, we just want to do something. Like I said, I would love to, do something that we can do. And be a part of together.
Yeah.
You know, so we've thought of things to do with her mother's ranch. You know, we've considered, and very seriously considering doing like a health and wellness bed and breakfast deal for individuals that are, you know, going through finding out you got cancer and you're afraid and you don't know, you need a healthy alternative, and you just try to throw as much information out and try to make them feel good and try to get through this.
Sure.
So we're thinking about that, and again, she's throwing the restaurant, you know, the idea. Well, I tell you what,
if anybody can make some food that people wouldn't normally think about eating tastes good,
man,
I know two people that can do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I want to be a part of that, because I know I need to eat some more vegetables.
Yeah, man, you and me both. As I told her, I was, you know, I'm going to knock two birds out with one stone. We're going to start eating right.
Yeah.
You're going to get better, and I'm going to get skinny, and it's going to be good.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And a good name. I don't know if y'all thought about a name, but Back Burner sound like a good name, too.
Yeah.
I'm just throw that out there for
no,
free.
No, no, no. I like that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back. You listen to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, in studio.
Yes.
The Cunninghams. Woo woo. And they got a new restaurant coming out, a new bed and breakfast.
That's right. So
you could say you heard it here first. And when you go live, we'll go live again.
Bro, you got carte blanche. You good.
Oh yeah, well, I'm gonna come through. I need to
that's
rest.
Right.
I may not have anything wrong with me right now, but
right.
I still need something to eat. And we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and it's our last segment. So, Zoltan, help the guys understand, if they're caregivers, right, we're supposed to be honoring our vows, period, in sickness and in health.
100.
How do we do that? What would you say to the guys to encourage them to do that?
Again, first, I'm going to say, man, your foundation has to be strong with the Lord. So, realistically, I think that's the best thing, that, you know, praying, getting closer to God. I'm not going to say my wife got cancer because of me, but I know sometimes we pray for things and God does things in his own kind of way, you know? So I think, you have to stay prayed up about it. You have to draw get closer to God. I don't want to sound like this holier than thou guy, but I mean, that's been the strongest thing for me. I think also it's very positive to have good people around you. Try to find those people that have went through some things, that have experienced it. You don't want to hear something that somebody heard, man. You want to talk to somebody that's been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And then again, man, you have to put yourself on the back burner and realize this is all about your girl. It's all about your wife.
Yeah.
You may have to reconfigure everything that you do, the way you think, how you do what you do, and realize that it is the best for your relationship with your wife.
Sure.
I mean, I can honestly say it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. I can see me better. I can see when I do things wrong. And Sharon's always been the person to kind of give me space when I was, you know, when she could tell was something wrong. The best of your ability, leave whatever your problems are at the doorstep. And when you get inside the house, man, you got to understand, man, all that's, go to the back room and deal with that when she's asleep.
Yeah.
But you have to do what you got. You got to keep her. You have to keep your wife as positive and upbeat, without being a pain in the neck. You know, I'm probably a pain because I'm always telling her, "Babe, look, I don't want you to look sick.
Yeah.
I know you're tired, but I don't want you to look tired.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to take this with both hands and strangle it.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, put this on, do this, you know, own this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have to do it in such a way that it's loving and caring and it's not overbearing. And I probably could get overbearing sometimes because, again, I want her to, I know she's going through some things, her body's adjusting. She's trying to get back strong in her legs and, you know, and I like I said, I'm kind of like my dad. I like to pop her on her butt and kiss her on the head and you know, but she's, her body is a little sore, and I, you know, sometimes my pops are a little bit too hard, so I mean, everything needs to be taken into consideration. If you got to become a cook, man, become a cook.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to be a house cleaner, man, be a house cleaner.
Yeah.
Be whatever it is. If you got to be a chauffeur all the time, man, be that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Own it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, I would hate to be able to say, man, that when everything is well and she's healthy and we're traveling, we're doing what we're supposed to do, that I did a, you know, the job that I did was subpar.
Sure.
You know, I would hate for her to say, you know what, I made it through and I did this. You know, not that I'm looking for accolades for my wife, but at the same time, I want to be able, you know, when you're doing what you're supposed to do. I want to be able to say to me, man, listen, man, I handled that. Yeah. You know,
gave him shots.
Yeah, I watched how you went through what you went through, not knowing what you were going through.
Hmm.
You know, I had a brother that goes to our church named Earl Sisk.
Mm-hmm.
I watched how Earl nurtured his wife.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As her health deteriorated, I saw this dude picking her up, coming to church, doing his thing, going home, picking her up, getting her dressed, bringing her, you know, man, it was an honor to watch that dude do.
Yeah, because he would never leave her side when she walked in the place. I don't know if she could see well or move well, but it didn't matter. You could never tell because Earl had it.
Man, that dude was my hero.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I want to be like that dude. Yeah. I want people to be like, yeah, man, that dude was, you know, he picked up Sharon. He brought her here, there. He made sure she was good.
Sure.
And again, not to get accolades from anybody, but to be able to say, man, look, I did what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In sickness and in health, I said I was going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, there's no walking. That's the other thing you need to listen. This is an extremely emotional time for them.
Sure.
And it can be extremely emotional for you.
Sure.
And a lot of times I would tell her that she was, I didn't want it to sound mean, but I was like, I don't want you to give me a pity party, baby. I want you to, you know, you know, and I didn't want to be too hard on her, but I wanted her to try to stay strong. And I just thought that was the best thing to try to help her get strong. But you have to get on their level emotionally.
Yeah.
And that's not the easiest thing to do for a male. And that's what I said, man, I had to pray a lot about that, you know, about, because again, we got this macho thing and this pride thing about feeling vulnerable and weak, man. But I think if you can communicate with your wife on her level, man, you are the man. or at least getting close enough to be that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're supposed to be what our wives need us to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times people don't understand what our real vows mean and what the responsibility and the responsibility that God gave us to do what we do.
Sure.
And that means, you know, being your wife's everything on every level.
Yep.
You know, and so I just kind of want to do that. But yeah, I think those, you know, being acute to what she's, what her needs are, forgetting about what you're, you know, what you're about and what your needs are. Man, at the end of the day, man, your goal is to get your wife healthy and strong.
Sure.
And you guys live and love each other for a long time.
That's amazing.
Or at least until Jesus come back and get us, you know, either way. So, and I'll take that too. But
yeah.
But yeah, man, I think it's important, you know.
What's one thing that you would want Sharon to know that you're not sure that you ever told her? What's the one thing you would want her to know for sure, beyond shadow of a doubt?
From the very first call that she gave me, when she told me she had cancer, I had her 100. Because a lot of times I think she questions. I think she was wondering. She would even say, you know, like she had something in mind that I was leaving. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm.
Where am I going?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so she needs to know I'm here.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to say I'm here to the end.
Yeah.
I'm here, just here.
Yeah.
Ain't going to be no end.
Yeah.
We going to, you know, we going to get this, you know, and we going to battle this. We going to battle this together 100 and we going to win.
Yeah.
You know, it was never a second guess that I was going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was never a second guess that, you know, I didn't think we were going to get this done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So if this is the plan that God had to draw us closer together, then so be it.
You guys look stronger now than ever before.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sharon, what would you want to tell Zoltan of all the things ever?
Lord.
Stop hitting on her butt.
Yeah, stop hitting me on my butt. Massage my feet so my swelling go down. So I don't have cankles no more. Get rid of the cankles. I don't know. Because he's, you know, he said from the beginning, he's been there. He's, like I said, when I had to have my injections, he gave me my injections. So I truly appreciate just him being there to support me through it all, you know, taking me to the chemo, sitting with me, you know, the couple hours that I had to do the chemo, he was there.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, it makes all the difference in the world to know that you have somebody that truly, truly is standing by you, you know, through it all, through the, you know, and I, because I'm kind of private and I don't want him to see the pity party. And, you know, I've had to go in the back room and just cry to myself because I don't want to put that on him or the kids. You know, you don't want them to see that you're actually hurting and you're going through something.
Sure.
But he's still kind of been there. And when he has seen me cry, he's like, you know, it's okay. And he'll just hold you and you just need that comfort. So he's been there to be my comfort, to be my, that backbone, you know, to kind of be that voice and tell the doctor, hell no, you ain't gonna do that. You ain't gonna that's what we're not gonna do, you know, so. yeah, so it's been good. He's been all right, guy. He's a keeper.
He's a keeper.
All right, it's good. I'll take that.
I'll 28 take that. Years, you know.
I'll take that.
How much?
28 years.
I'll take that.
Oh,
yeah, man. Years.
That's one thing we didn't just quickly, and we're on our way out. How did you two meet?
Man.
High school.
I'll try to do it quick.
No, you can't. It's just high school.
We lived in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
I saw her walk when I was in ninth grade.
And that was it.
And I asked my boy, he was like, oh, that's Sharon. I said, who's the girl with the glass and the long hair? That's just Sharon, bro. And I was, for about 3 years, I was like, okay, but whatever. For about 3 years, I didn't pay any attention. Once I got into high school, we kind of ran into each other again. I had to lock her down after that, man.
Hey, man. That's,
yeah.
Well, we have enjoyed you having you both on the show. Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate you,
brother. Oh, no problem. Hey, and again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Hey, tune in next time. And if you have any questions, post to our social media and send us an email. We love y'all. See you guys next week.
It's been a long time.
Preach up!
You got it! I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.